Tavis Smiley, and we've made it to the third and final hour of our program today. And I have a very simple question for you. Now that we have learned that O.J. Simpson has passed away at the age of 76 in Las Vegas, after a battle, we are told, with prostate cancer, that from a statement released by his family, my simple question is this: do you recall where you were almost 30 years ago when you heard this?
All right, Mr. Simpson, would you please stand and face the jury? Mrs. Robertson.
Superior Court of California, County of Los Angeles, in the matter of the people of the state of California versus Orenthal James Simpson, case number BA097211. We, the jury, in the above entitled action, find the defendant Orenthal James Simpson not guilty of the crime of murder in violation of Penal Code Section 187A, a felony upon Nicole Brown Simpson, a human being, as charged in count one of the information. Superior Court of the State of California, County of Los Angeles, in the matter of the people of the State of California versus Orenthal James Simpson. We, the jury, in the above entitled action, find the defendant Orenthal James Simpson not guilty of the crime of murder in violation of Penal Code Section 187A, a felony upon Ronald Lyle Goldman, a human being, as charged in count two of the information. We, the jury, in the above entitled action, further find the special circumstance that the defendant, Orenthal James Simpson, has in this case been convicted of at least one crime of murder of the first degree and one or more crimes of murder of the first or second degree to be not true. Signed this second day of October 1995, juror 230. Ladies and gentlemen of the jury, is this your verdict? So say you won, so say you all.
All right, counsel, Mr. Simpson, would you be seated, please? Just have it quiet in the courtroom, please. All right, Mrs. Robertson, would you please poll the jurors?
Poll the jurors. Juror number one, as to count one, is this your verdict? Juror number two, as to count one, is this your verdict? Juror number three, as to count one, is this your verdict? Juror number four, as to count one, is this your verdict?
Yes.
Juror number five, as to count one, is this your verdict?
Yes.
Juror number six, as to count one, is this your verdict?
Yes.
Juror number seven, as to count one, is this your verdict?
Yes.
Juror number eight, as to count one, is this your verdict?
Yes.
Juror number nine, as to count one, is this your verdict?
Yes.
Juror number 10, as to count one, is this your verdict?
Yes.
Juror number 11, as to count one, is this your verdict?
Yes.
Juror number 12, as to count one, is this your verdict?
Yes.
As I said, O.J. Simpson dead at the age of 76 in Las Vegas after a battle with prostate cancer, according to a statement from his family. He was a gifted athlete whose murder trial riveted the nation. I don't need to tell you that. O.J. had football fame and made fortunes in Hollywood, but as we all know, that murder trial for killing his former wife and her friend changed everything. I am pleased to be joined now in conversation by the man who hosted the show of record every single night during the trial, Geraldo Rivera. His CNBC show was must-see TV during the trial of the century, and ironically, it is where my national TV career began. So if you love me, thank Geraldo. If you loathe me, thank Geraldo, or blame Geraldo. Before Tom Joyner, BET, NPR, CNN, ABC, and PBS, I was honored to be a contributor to Rivera Live during the trial of O.J. Simpson. Geraldo covered this case like nobody else with regular exclusive interviews, and I'm pleased to have Geraldo Rivera back on this program. G, how are you, sir?
I am honored to be with you on this propitious day, Tavis. You are such an amazing commentator with profound knowledge of the community and the criminal justice system. You're a hardcore veteran. I appreciate knowing you. The best thing to come out of this whole grim situation in my life is your friendship.
No, you are kind, and I feel the same way, and I thank you for that. I've got about 2 minutes here now. Let me just ask your initial thoughts when you heard the news earlier today, and when we come forward, I'll let you unpack some other stuff for me.
A weird reaction I had. You know, Donald Trump is about to go on trial for what I think is the weakest case against him. In the borough of Manhattan, a largely minority, largely black jury pool, because race matters in criminal justice as never before seen more vividly than in the O.J. Simpson case. I think Trump should be worried. If he goes in that courtroom and the trial goes on and they go into that jury room, that jury pool, that those jurors will look at him and say, this guy is not our friend. And I think that it will be very, very grim for former President Trump to have it. In terms of, obviously, the impact it had on so many lives, the impact much more, much deeper than my surmise about the jury in the Trump case. It's black people and white people are cognizant of race. Cornel West says it best, race matters. It's not irrelevant ever, never. To pretend it is to be in a kind of dreamland that doesn't reflect reality.
Yeah.
It was a race case, and it was a predictable result. I think even if they had a videotape of O.J. Simpson murdering the mother of his children and her friend Ron Goldman, I believe that jury would have acquitted him, found a way to acquit him anyway.
That is a strong statement, but that does not surprise me, knowing Geraldo as I do, and it doesn't surprise you either. If you watched Rivera live every night during this trial, he does not hold his tongue. Just getting started with Geraldo Rivera on the day that the news has come forth that O.J. Simpson has passed away at the age of 76. You are listening to Tavis Smiley.
Interrogating and unpacking.
That's what we do around here.
You're listening to Tavis Smiley. Smiley. Who do you trust to get at the truth?
Tavis Smiley.
Smiley. That's who. The conversation continues right now.
Didn't take long for Geraldo Rivera to set it off. I asked him one question and one answer. He's got the phone lines lit up. He's got people posting on social media. I asked him one question. He gave one answer, and he set it off already. So let me just jump right in, G. There are many black people listening right now, and certainly beyond, when they hear what you've had to say on this program already, who would take your comment as an insult, an absolute insult to black people, that as jurors we cannot sit and look at evidence and make informed decisions, not just an insult to black jurors. Some would take that as an insult to black people writ large. Your response?
I think that people have to get over themselves, white and black. O.J. Simpson did not happen in a vacuum. 1991, a motorist on the 210, Rodney King, beaten to within an inch of his life by four white cops. Those cops tried 1992, Simi Valley, suburbs, white cops, acquitted despite the most graphic evidence you could possibly imagine. The cops walked, the white cops walked. Why did they walk? What happened? Resulting in the worst riots since the Civil War in this country, 50 dead, 1,100 buildings destroyed, many thousands injured, lives totally unsettled and interrupted. So Rodney King is the background noise, the background, the atmosphere in L.A. at the time. That muscle memory, that searing demonstration of every nightmare every black family ever endured was in the courtroom when O.J. Simpson was on trial. Remember, O.J. Simpson was not tried in Simi Valley. O.J. Simpson was tried downtown by a largely black jury. That jury, Johnny Carson did a brilliant job of bringing in racism, was one of the key witnesses in the O.J. Simpson trial. Mark Furman was exposed time and time again with Johnny Cochran and F. Lee Bailey as using the N-word, for example, and lying about it, and having utter contempt for black people. That's what this case was. That's the context in which this case, the murder case, double murder case, was decided. It wasn't the gloves don't fit, you must acquit. It was much more Mark Furman and the N-word. It was much more the what I call the muscle memory of the Rodney King and the white cops' treatment, contemptuous, violent treatment of black people, historic abuse. You can't pretend that anybody, you could be Solomon. It doesn't matter. You can't pretend that you don't bring that baggage into the court, regardless of what, even if you lie to yourself. Let an old man now, and now I look back on it, I'm 80 years old, I look back on it, we were lucky to be right in the 1990s, or we still had some impetuosity. But it's not a question, and I insult no one's intelligence, but if you don't cop to the reality in this country, this is a racial country, this is a race matters, candidacies are built around it. Businesses are built around it. It affects so many different lives. It affects how we feel. My most vivid proof of my thesis is the way the split screen worked. They had a camera on a bunch of white university kids mm-hmm. and a bunch of black university kids, mm-hmm. side by side. Mm-hmm. The verdicts were read. The white people were slumped down, depressed, the black people were being filmed live were elated. We won one. One for the team. It wasn't just OJ being acquitted. Many people watching, many black people watching, felt that it was a team victory. And I will hold that, Tavis, as my opinion until the day I die.
Yeah. So I hear you loud and clear. You will acknowledge to me, and I want to come to your Donald Trump comment in a moment because he is facing that trial, the Stormy Daniels case, the porn case, the hush money case. We'll come to that in a second because you made a comment about that, and I want to probe you on that. But if I grant you what you just said, and I don't need to grant it to you, that's your opinion, you expressed it. And I'm not suggesting that two wrongs make a right, but you will acknowledge, as I discussed with Leonard Pitch in our first hour today, that black folk did not invent tribalism. We didn't start that.
Hell no. Absolutely not.
Yeah.
And that's the road, that rocky uphill climb that black Americans have faced since 1619. Mm-hmm. They get judged by a different standard depending on who's looking. And I believe that it's tribalism, yes. But race is deep. Race is, it's not like wealth.
Yeah.
It's deeper than all that is. And OJ is the luckiest man in this country. He rode that wave despite the fact that he was the least regarded at the time as the least black man in public life, and a guy that they used to say with some contempt that he never went south of the 10 freeway except to visit USC.
Yeah, somebody told
me. Those are the things. What I'm telling you because I feel that I have the freedom, as I hope you have when you come on my show later, to tell it the way you see it. And that's the way I see it.
Yeah. His show later, he's referencing Geraldo is sitting in for Chris Cuomo for the Cuomo program on News Nation. And I called him earlier today. I said, Geraldo, as a matter of fact, I dialed his number. He picked up. He said, crazy, huh? That's all he said was crazy, huh? Didn't say hello. He knew what I was calling about. I mean, he saw my name pop up on his phone. I said, I need you today. He said, I'll be there for you, brother, as always. And he said, return the favor. I'm sitting in for Cuomo on News Nation. I need you on my program tonight. So tonight on News Nation, I'll be appearing with Geraldo as he hosts his program tonight, and I'll offer my commentary then. So this is about his. This is his time. I'll have my time later tonight on television on News Nation on his program. That said, let me come back quickly to. You mentioned Johnny Cochran earlier. I'm watching my time. Got about less than 10 minutes here with you. I want to make the most of it. You mentioned Johnny Cochran earlier. You are a lawyer, and you're a pretty good one. And that's how you became an investigative journalist and became the star that you have become in media. Give me your honest assessment of how brilliant Johnny was. I mean, everybody is entitled to a defense as an attorney, you know that. Did Johnny do his job or did Johnny do his job?
He was excellent. I don't know that there would have been any better lawyer for Simpson in that moment. You know, it was called the Dream Team for a good reason. Mm-hmm. You know, because I thought Simpson guilty. You know, I was very skeptical, highly critical, but you have to call it like it is. They made it so there was an intellectual basis for what was a racially motivated decision.
Yeah.
Even though I am being the pseudo shrink going into the hearts and minds of the jury, the lawyers led by Johnny Cochran, like the gloves don't fit, you must have quit. How is it that we remember that? You know, all these years later, it's catchy. It's, you know, it's a way. So the jury says, the juror says to, you know, his white colleagues at work or her white colleagues at work, you know, how could you have made that decision, that verdict on Simpson? Didn't you see Johnny Cochran? The gloves don't fit. You must have quit. And you must remember that because it's so catchy. You probably remember that more than you remember some of your relatives' names. The gloves don't fit. You must have quit. Yep. I remember going after Cochran at one point and I, you know, criticizing him. You know, it was something in his family, his wife or something. I forget what it is now. And you know, I remember Johnny Cochran looking at me and saying, I'm not on trial here. And I, with considerable chagrin, said, "Boy, you're right, Counselor."
No, he was good. He did his job, man. That's all I'm saying. Back to Donald Trump, making the most of my 5 minutes left here. You mentioned Trump earlier, and here again is the danger that we have when we, you know, when we stay in our silos, when we treat people as tribal, even though that is as real as rain. But your comment about Donald Trump and that he should be concerned about being tried in this Manhattan courtroom with a black and brown jury. He's not our guy. He's not our friend. We're going to find this guy guilty. Again, that could be borderline insulting if you don't give them a chance to look at the evidence. And the evidence we've seen so far from Alvin Bragg is that Donald Trump did what he's alleged to have done. And so I don't want to reduce that to us voting against Donald Trump in a case where the evidence makes it abundantly clear, we shall see, that he did what Alvin Bragg said he did, which is illegal.
I agree that it's illegal. But what did he do? He paid hush money so his wife wouldn't find out about his affair with the porn star. He paid hush money. Michael Cohen paid it off. His henchmen paid it off. And then Trump paid Michael Cohen back in a series of checks amounting, 34 installments of $100-some thousand each. So he had 34 checks that Trump wrote to Michael Cohen to pass on to Stormy Douglas. Is that 34 felonies, or is it, as I submit, under the law, one crime? Mm-hmm. With 34 instances, actions that make the crime the crime. He did one crime. It took 1/34th of the crime happened each time he wrote a check. So I think it should have been one case, one charge, not 34 charges. And I think it should have been a misdemeanor, not a felony.
Yeah.
You know, why is that? Because for this to be a felony, you need a second felony to go along with the hush money. Alvin Bragg uniquely, this is an office where I started my law career, mm-hmm. in Manhattan DA's office.
Oh, yeah.
He uniquely made this an election interference case. What is it, really an election interference case? Or is it paying hush money so your wife doesn't throw you out of the house? You know, is that really election interference because you happen in the context of a presidential election campaign?
I don't think
that's enough to make it a felony.
You make strong points. You make strong points. And I come back to, and we'll continue this tonight on News Nation, I suspect, but I come back to this point that, again, black people did not invent tribalism, and we did not invent overcharging people. Negroes, black people get overcharged every single day in this country. And so, I mean, I think you and I agree that our justice system is just layered with all kinds of drama and trauma and inequity and unfairness. But every time I hear somebody make a strong case like you've just made, that Alvin Bragg may have overcharged in this case, I think of all the brothers and sisters who've been subject to being overcharged for centuries.
Absolutely. You're absolutely right. It's one of the reasons I gave up the practice of criminal law. It was too depressing.
Yeah.
It was too difficult to wring justice from that highly politicized, deeply racial system.
I'll give you the last word. I got 90.
You know,
I'm sorry. I got
the whole thing about cops and bail. It's,
yeah.
It's another aspect.
Yep. Got 90 seconds. I'll give it to you. I said earlier in this program that America has grown older, but we've not grown wiser. We've grown older, but we've not grown up. I think the O.J. Simpson case pointed out a number of things, not the least of which is how immature we are as a nation when it comes to race. Are we still as immature? Have we grown up? Have we learned anything over the last 30 years?
I don't think so.
Wow.
The answer is no.
Wow.
I think that Cornel West, in picking Malina Abdullah as his running mate, I think that he puts Biden's campaign in profound peril. It will catapult him, I think, ahead of Robert F. Kennedy Jr. With a much more viable ticket. If he strips the already vacillating black community from President Biden's backing President Biden, it could be disastrous for the Democrats. It is what the Professor West is all about, I don't know.
Yeah.
But he this is a very cunning, very, very powerful decision he's made. But to answer your question, I wish. Remember how President Obama ended his two terms in office. He had been beaten up so badly by the end of the second term that even black people were saying, spare this man any further torture. Let him go on to his life. And I worry about us, Rachel. Look how Harris, what's happening to Kamala Harris.
Nope.
And how she's being, really battered.
No.
It's not an optimistic scenario.
Nope. Harald, I got 30 seconds left here. Harald and I went back and forth over the course of all those months of that OJ case, and I never offered my opinion on the air as to what I thought about OJ. But when the case was over, Harald and I sat for dinner. He said, okay, Tavis, tell me what you really think. And interestingly, after going back and forth about all kinds of issues and my trying to defend black people in a variety of ways, we came to the same conclusion. And that was, as Harald will recall, we both agreed that the police, LAPD, had framed a guilty man. Correct, Harald?
I remember you saying it, and I remember agreeing then, and I agree now.
All right. Geraldo Rivera, our guest for this half hour. I'll be with him tonight as he sits in for Cuomo on News Nation, talking about this issue of O.J. Simpson being dead today at the age of 76. Geraldo, love you. I'll talk to you later tonight. Thank you, sir.
See you later.
More of Tavis Smiley when we come forward.